Ryan McGee, ESPN. He joins us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. College World Series is underway. Although I feel like, Ryan, is it okay for me? And I know you're on the SEC Network. You know, you and Marty do your thing with Marty and McGee, and it's awesome. You know, I watch the show. You know, I listen. But I have a little SEC fatigue, man. Like, can the SEC stop for like a hot minute and let some other people live?
Well, and what's funny is, I mean, we have the show on the SEC Network, but, you know, it's also on, you know, ESPN Radio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we both, I mean, I'm currently wearing University of Utah gym shorts and Washington State t-shirt. You know, it's yeah, we're on there. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. And there was a huge part of me, and I caught some flack about this, but I said on Marty McGee on Saturday, I was glad. I was so relieved Stanford got into the College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of, you know, against offense to Auburn, I was kind of hoping Oregon State would get into the College World Series. I just, you know, when I think about college baseball, I think about the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, think about UCLA and USC has more championships than anyone else. And obviously Oregon State and Stanford and all that. So I think it's good for events when there's a lot of it. But, yeah, Ole Miss could win the College World Series without playing anyone outside the SEC in the College World Series. And that's crazy. And then, you know, the fact that Oklahoma and Texas are, you know, de facto Notre Dame ACC-ish kind of members.
No, don't
right?
you do that.
Right?
You're but no, Brian it, McGee.
I
cannot count them yet. I'm giving all of Miami's titles to the ACC now, Ryan McGee. What are you doing to me?
It's like all the old Florida State guys being recognized as ACC legends. Fred Biletnikoff, really? No, not really. No offense, but I don't remember him. I don't remember him racking
Jim
up
Brown.
Yardage
against the mail. Yeah, Jim Brown, ACC legend. Always loved that one.
You saw him back in the day, Cameron. Wallace Wade?
We all remember Jim Brown and all his great lacrosse matches against Carolina.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Ryan.
I totally get it. Your point is, I get it. I totally get it. And I'm not dumb. You know, I wrote a column that didn't go over well in Birmingham. I wrote a column about, you know, is Texas, Oklahoma, and SEC, is that a good idea?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great idea for Marty McGee. I mean,
of course
it's great for me.
Of course it is.
I'll be in a contract year the year they join. I'm all about it. But the reality is that I don't, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if it's great for, you know, the entirety of college. But if you're Oklahoma and Texas, you got to do it. If you're Greg Sankey, you got to do it, right? I mean, it's just – I totally get what you're saying.
And Ryan McGee joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovies. And you can listen to Marty McGee here on 99.9 The Fan Saturday mornings. So I am curious because we're right around the corner for talking season, right? SEC Media Days are right around the corner, followed by the ACC Media Days. And that this particular talking season will focus on Texas and Oklahoma joining them. And Greg Sankey, I see what he's doing by floating out this idea of, well, you know, we have it on the table. We've discussed an all-SEC championship tournament if we want to. Like, you don't say that out loud unless you're trying to get something across. What are they trying to get across, Ryan?
It's a big middle finger to the alliance. Okay, you know what? You're gonna form this alliance that I don't even know what it is, and make a big deal. That's okay, fine. You know, then this is if you're going to talk out loud about we're forming this alliance, well then okay, then we're going to talk out loud about building a better Death Star. And it is totally talking season. And he is so angry with how all, you know, every time they have a meeting and every time the commissioners get together and it's time to expand or it's time to do whatever. And he also is co-chair of this NCAA, whatever the future committee or whatever it is to determine what the NCAA is going to be in the future. But I can tell you this, at the national championship game, I was sitting on the set. We were doing Marty McGee. Just coincidentally, we were on at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Monday, and they had just had their big commissioners meeting that everyone thought was going to result in an 18 playoff, or at least a 16 playoff, and the meeting fell apart. and it was right after the alliance had been announced. And Sankey literally left that meeting and walked straight to our set and sat down and goes, "I'm ready to say whatever y'all ask." I mean, he was so angry, like red in the face. So it's just, you know, it's great. And yeah, all that dropped last year, talking about talking season. Marty and I were in the middle of an interview with Greg Sankey, and we're talking about like U2. We're trying to talk about anything other than serious business, and the Houston Chronicle story dropped literally while we were sitting there. And so that interview got cut short.
Ryan McGee, ESPN, joining us here on the Houston Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Speaking of a year ago, NC State gets self-eliminated from the College World Series, sent home in the middle of the night. Is there a vigil there in Omaha for the Wolfpack and our friend Elliot Avent?
All right, so I'm full disclosure, I'm leaving in the morning. I'll be there first thing tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this, I was in Raleigh on Sunday, and my daughter and I were in town. I was dropping her off at a summer program, and I took her to lunch at an undisclosed location on Hillsborough Street, and the guy left the kitchen and walked all the way out to where I was sitting, and he said, "I'm still mad at you about NC State last year."
Oh, geez.
Mad at you?
And I go, "Why are you mad at me?" He said, "Well, because of everything that happened." And I go, "Well," I said, "just so you know," I said, "you're 100% right." I said, "because I took all the vaccines the state had, and I threw them in the garbage." Like, I mean, I don't want to tell the guy. But the point is, it's still raw. I still get it. And I have written many times, as I know you guys have said, I know you've written, you know, it's the greatest rivalry in college sports now is NC State versus NCAA. And it's, I'm curious to see if there's state fans, you know, one or two guys that made the trip out to Omaha just to, like, wow, I don't know, throw eggs at the NCAA, you know, administrative bus or something.
It's a good thing for NC State that they don't run the college football playoff and Dave Doran can focus on that. He doesn't have to worry about them getting left out of that because they don't run it. Ryan McGee, ESPN, that's joining it. Us here on the OG. We'll close on this. Tomorrow night is the finale for Obi-Wan. For people who do not know this, Ryan's a huge Star Wars nerd, just like me. Now, you work for Disney. They haven't given you an advanced screener last night, have they? Do you know what happens, Ryan?
Full disclosure, I have not received it yet. However, it drops at 3 a.m.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Like tonight. And I am in the house. My flight to Omaha is like mid-morning. Okay. So I will definitely see it before I get on the plane. But I have been receiving episodes a few hours early.
Oh.
And so I will be refreshed while tonight's College World Series game inevitably lasts 7 hours. I'll be refresh, looking to see if it's in the inbox. But I have so enjoyed this show, and I thought that last episode was amazing, and so I'm angry. There's only one left.
There's a rumor that they could do another season of this, depending on how well it's received. But we have about a minute here. I want more Star Wars fans to be like you, because I feel like oftentimes something new comes out and we should be happy because you and I are old enough to remember the very, like, you want to talk about Tatooine being a desolate wasteland, right? Let's talk about Star Wars from Return of the Jedi up until the prequels. There was nothing except for like some video games. So now we get all this fun stuff and it's cool to see. Yet all I ever hear anytime I open up social media, it's people complaining.
I just, whatever. I got no time for any of them. You know, where it really happens with Solo. And yeah. I told me at SEC Media Day, I was at SEC Media Days a few years ago, and I sat down, and a guy had on a Millennium Falcon sweatshirt, and it was, you know, Spanky and the sports guy from wherever in New Jersey and or Alabama, wherever. And right on the air,
like, wait a second, why would they be from New Jersey?
No, I misspoke. They were there. You know, let's assume they were there from, you know, Louisiana.
Sure.
And the guy's got his sweatshirt. I go, before we get started, I said, "What do you think of Solo?" I'm not going to watch that. I go, "Dude, what are you talking about?"
What?
I just don't understand. And part of the problem is the old guys, they want everything to feel like Return of the Jedi film.
Yeah.
They want every episode of every show to change their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, it's not the case. We're getting content all the time. All the time. Also, I do not understand why.
We're not 10 years old. That's why.
Yeah.
We're not 10.
Imagine if they took college football away from you
mm-hmm.
for 10 years. Would you complain if they started playing on Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, like they do now? No, you wouldn't, because you'd be so thankful to have it. So yeah, it's I get a little irritated, but
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Yeah. All right, Ryan, safe trip, man, and I'll shoot you a text when I finally get around to that episode. I'm curious your thoughts. All right, man.
Okay, and NC State fans, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. I didn't cancel the ball game. I didn't do it. It's not Joe G's fault. It's none of our fault.
The Tampa Bay Lightning did that thing again. Oh man, things are looking dire for them. They got beat on the road. They come back home and then they remind you, hey guys, we've done this before. We have the experience and we want to do it three times in a row when it comes to the Stanley Cup. Todd Wright, you'll remember him from All Night with Todd Wright on ESPN Radio, Sporting News Radio, Yahoo Sports Radio. He's got the Todd Wright Toddcast. He's still down in Tampa. I think he's off the golf course right now. Todd, what's up, man? It's been a while since we've chatted. How are you doing?
All good. All good memories also of my many visits to Raleigh, including bringing All Night with ESPN Radio there for the 2002 Stanley Cup Finals and one of the more memorable sporting events I ever attended, the triple overtime game, mm-hmm. Game 3 against the Red Wings.
We actually talked about that yesterday in relation to the anniversary of the Carolina Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup in 2006. And I had posed that question to John Forslund, a former television play-by-play for the Carolina Hurricanes, and Chuck Caton, former radio play-by-play for the Carolina Hurricanes, that what if the Canes had won in that triple overtime game against Detroit? Do they go and win it all the way?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way in a while, but it certainly seemed like that was an era where if you had a game like that, if it went your way, you went on to win the series. Mm-hmm. If it didn't go your way, you went on to lose the series. And we since, not only in the NHL, but also we certainly saw a lot of that in the NBA this past year. Big comebacks, NFL too, are not that outlandish anymore. But back then, one big win in that situation seemed to propel you momentum-wise through the rest of the series. So I think you can definitely make that argument that had Carolina won Game 3, they could have gone on to win the series against Detroit.
So spinning it forward to this Stanley Cup Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche, they've only lost twice up until last night. And the Colorado Avalanche have only lost twice in the playoffs up until this point. They look like a wrecking ball, and I'll admit, typically, I don't get too caught up in blowouts like what happened in Game 2 where the Lightning got beat 7-0. I felt like that really could demoralize the Lightning, but I guess what the Lightning did last night was remind you, hey, we've won two of these things in a row. We still have this experience. We might not have the same talent level, but we know what we need to do. They did it last night. Have you felt, or at least in Tampa, has it felt like this team has been underappreciated during this particular run?
No, I didn't really know what to think going into Game 3. I was asked on one of my local television appearances for Spectrum News here that between the two games, and I said, I have to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. I do. They've earned that, not just from what happened in winning in overtime in Game 6 against Toronto in the first round, and in coming back from 2-0 in the series, 2-0 down in Game 3 against the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. But the two championships previously gives this group the benefit of the doubt. So the optics looked one way, and then the history looked the other way, and we saw it play out history's way in Game 3.
Todd Wright joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. And Todd, the end of that game got a little bit ugly last night, including a hit on Nikita Kucherov, who had to limp off the ice there. I'm curious, do you think that will spill over to Game 4, that bad blood?
I doubt it. I don't think you can do that. And just taking a page out of the Cooper playbook, no, because if you're too worried about that, then what's going to happen in the first 10 minutes? It's what happened in the first two games in Denver, where the Avalanche just jump you. And the next thing you know, you're down 2-0. You can't clear your own zone. You can't control their speed over attacking the net from 200 feet out. And the game is gone. And then you're 3-1 going back to Denver, and it's probably over. So, no, they have to move on from that. I'm sure you guys are aware. Cooper said he expects Kucherov to play tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. To what level, we do not know. We all know how coaches and teams get mysterious about injuries, even though we can all see it with our own eyes. It certainly feels like Kucherov will play and Braden Point will not.
Todd Wright joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. You'll remember Todd, ESPN, Up All Night, that used to be nationally syndicated, bounced around some other places, still in Tampa, still doing podcasts, still doing appearances.
That voice has put me in a spot there, Todd.
Todd, it does take me back to back in the day, man, which kind of will wrap the hockey conversation on this. You go back to 2002 where you brought the show here for the Stanley Cup Finals between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Detroit Red Wings, but let's look at hockey overall over the last couple of years. The Florida Panthers, they've been great in the regular season. They're still trying to punch through. The Lightning obviously took quick work of that. The Carolina Hurricanes under Rod Brindamore the last 4 years have been impressive in the regular season. They're still trying to find that extra oomph in the postseason. But the bottom line is, from 2002 to today, 20 years later, Southern hockey's no joke, man. It's been a lot of fun to watch, especially the crowds there in Tampa.
Oh, it's been terrific. And I'll mention, I have a lot of good memories from not only being in Raleigh for the Stanley Cup Finals 20 years ago, but other trips that I made to Raleigh multiple times doing my show with your help, Joe, out of some studios there in Raleigh from an ESPN affiliate. That Stanley Cup Final, we were in Detroit for the first couple of games. I left a show from my affiliate, WDFN, in Detroit, and my rental car had been stolen.
Oh,
that's
geez.
How the Stanley Cup Finals in 2002 started for me.
Oh, geez.
With a stolen rental car in Detroit.
Welcome to Detroit.
And the officer who came to the scene questioning whether I was lying that I knew who stole the vehicle.
Oh, geez.
And I said, why would I steal a rental car? I'm here working the Stanley Cup Finals. I live in Florida. So I always remembered that. So that was the bad taste in my mouth from Detroit, which the Raleigh side certainly rinsed out, because all my trips to the Carolinas have always been very good.
All right, so I think I have you coming off the golf course here, and I know that you are tied in with the golf community in Florida. So I am curious, we'll close the conversation on this, away from hockey and the drama that is the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf. I know that ESPN's got a report today that Jay Moynihan, who heads up the PGA, had a conversation at this upcoming tournament about some changes they're going to make, which clearly has been, you know, jostled because of what's going on with LIV Golf. What is your I feel like, to me, this is guys like Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia and to a certain extent Brooks Koepka telling me they're not really interested in competing. They've made their competitive marks. They know they can make these majors, these four majors. So why don't I just cash out and play in golf tournaments that are just glorified exhibitions? I think that's the reason why people are reacting that way. Do you have any sympathy for these guys? Do you see what their play is? What do you read with the LIV Golf defections?
I think the two biggest reasons, and everybody has their own opinion, Joe, but the two biggest reasons for the defections for me were, you're not taking the biggest four events on the globe away from anybody. And most people didn't realize until the last couple of weeks, the PGA Tour doesn't run the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the PGA of America is a different organization, and the RNA runs the Open Championship. So the majors haven't had the PGA Tour's back. Also, I just made the analogy, Joe, that, you know, for every guy who plays a game for the Carolina Hurricanes, he gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
For every guy who plays an NBA game, he gets paid. For every guy who plays a Major League Baseball game or an NFL game, they get paid. Half of the PGA Tour's workforce virtually every week is free labor that they're making money off of, that they're building up their coffers to contribute to charity. And then after 36 holes, they say to half of their workforce, thanks for coming. We're not going to give you anything, but we appreciate you helping stage our event. So the LIV Golf Tour making players salaried employees takes that off the table. And I think Moynihan is very desperate to save his job, as he is to prevent further defections from the PGA Tour. And let's face it, Joe, there are a number of things that the players have wanted the PGA Tour to do over the years. And in the end, the PGA Tour 90% of the time says, thanks for your input. We're going to do it our way.
Yeah, and now there's a threat. So here we are with trying to make some changes. Todd, it was fun catching up with you, man. I'll be interested to see how the Tampa Bay Lightning bounce back or continue what they did last night in Game 4. I know Adam Gold, I heard a little bit of Adam. You remember Adam.
Of course.
Earlier today, noon to 3, making the point that Game four is the pivotal one. If the Lightning can even this thing up, you got the feeling that Tampa is feeling it too, and the Avalanche might be a little shook after that. As talented as they might be, you get the sense that Tampa knows what it takes.
Yeah, it feels that way to me as well. And it's been quite a run over the last 3 years, as Cooper said recently, after they got swept by Torts, who won a cup here in 2004, mm-hmm. says maybe Torts was right. It created a monster. And that's what these guys have been. But we all know Colorado's been overdue with their talent. And then they finally broke through in the conference semis. Are they willing to, can they finish the job is the question. And game four would be a big step towards that for them.
Todd Wright, formerly All Night, now has the Toddcast. You can check that out wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Todd, appreciate the time, man. Take it easy.
Anytime.